This is the CC Radio Podcast.
Welcome to the Countdown Podcast and our classic review of Inception. My name is Wayne.
And my name is Paul. Welcome along and straight into it then for this Christopher Nolan masterpiece from 2010.
Hell yeah.
Produced by he and wife Emma Thomas, written by Christopher Nolan alone. It stars Leonardo DiCaprio, Ken Watanabe, Joseph Gordon-Levitt, Marion Cotillard, Ellen Page, Tom Hardy, Cillian Murphy, Tom Berenger, and Michael Caine. The music is by the legendary Hans Zimmer. Cinematography by Wally Pfister. Budget of $160 million for a worldwide box office of $836.8 million.
Boom!
This is why Nolan was meant to be the man who saved theaters when Tenet came out. All right, Wayne, what is this film about?
Yo. So Leo is Dom Cobb, who is a skilled thief, best in the business, especially in the dangerous art of extraction, which is stealing valuable secrets from deep within the subconscious of people during a dream state where the mind is at its most vulnerable. Cobb's rare abilities made him like a coveted player in this like weird world of corporate espionage, but it also made him an international fugitive and cost him everything he ever loved. Now he's being offered a shot at redemption by going to do one last job that could give him his life back, but he has to do the impossible stuff of actually inception, which is instead of taking shit out of a person's head, he has to put an idea in there, and if he succeeds, it could be the perfect crime. That's the movie.
Longest plot synopsis. It was a little long.
Sorry, everyone.
Vindication!
Well, the movie is complex.
Because it's totally justified. This film is a complex film. It was renowned for being too complex for some at the time it came out and requiring multiple viewings, not unlike another Tenet film, Nolan film, which is currently doing the rounds. But that said, this one seems to have stood the test of time. 10 years later, is considered a beloved film by most, not all, not all. Shout out to friend Jason from the Binge Movie Podcast.
Not a fan.
Who doesn't like this movie.
The hell you say?
Thinks that overall the script is pretty terrible.
Wow.
Wow. Hot damn.
Okay, yeah, hot take.
So we've got that one out there. Wayne, what do you think of Inception?
You know what? I think I've seen it about twice before this. Not that many times. That maybe three times. Okay. Maybe three times, right? But a long time ago. And so I watched it again last night, right? I forgot how good this film is. Oh. I forgot, man. And you know what? Even the scenes in the first act where Cobb is infiltrating the Saito guy's lair in a dream and he's shooting guards in the darkness with a silenced pistol. There's cool little... I forgot all of that. I'm like, oh, that's right. It's actually a proper spy thriller. Like every film, right? When he's shooting people, he catches the case that pops out of the gun. He's doing it every time. I'm like, that's
stop
it
from
so
making
cool.
Noise on the ground.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'm like, oh my God, how cool is that? He caught it, man. So this all that shit is just cool. And also, this movie, after I looked at it, I'm like, I'm going to go research this movie a bit and see a bit more about it. The depth of Christopher Nolan's artistry went far deeper than I had actually imagined. I'll go into it.
So what kind of really caught your eye about that?
This is probably stuff you already know, but for me, I either forgot or relearned it. You know the fucking Hans Zimmer thing, right? That is a super slowed down version of Edith Piaf's that song, right?
Amazingly, I understood what you're going for.
And I only realized that the reason it's a slowed down version of that song is because they play that song to alert the dreamers of the kick. And the further down a dream you go, the slower time moves. So that song is slowed down. Oh my God. And apparently Nolan chose that song because it deals with the effect memories have on your psyche and not being able to let shit go. And even a line in the song has the last word, le mal, is like it basically translates to bad in many languages. That's the name of Leo DiCaprio's wife in the movie.
Bad?
Mal. Yeah, it means bad. Yeah, bad. No, mal. It's like, what the hell? And get this, one more thing.
Please.
Nolan timed the movie to run 2 hours and 28 minutes, which is a dialed down time version of Piaf's original song length, which is 2 minutes and 28 seconds.
Right.
What? He went that far, man. He went that far making this movie.
Do you reckon that was happenstance?
How else are you gonna land on that, man? And this is like this is discussed it's known that it happens. This is deeper than I remember, son. And that's just the craft of the filmmaking. I loved it.
Let alone what's going on in the movie itself.
Right?
I think this film works on multiple levels and it does reward multiple viewings. Like I remember being totally engaged and enwrapped when we saw, maybe I was at the same cinema, we saw it together 10 years ago.
I think so, because we both were, I don't know, at least I was impressed.
Do you remember the guy who fell asleep behind us? snoring his ass off?
Yes.
So that's the moment I kind of went like, well, this isn't for everyone, this movie. Or, you know, he had a really bad day / big night the night before. I'm not sure. But
was he on his own?
I don't know. I don't think he was, but I do distinctly remember the snoring and being somewhat annoyed.
Yeah.
To the course as it went on and on. You know, yeah, reach over and punch him in the nose.
Exactly.
Oh, sorry. I was just walking past with my fist.
Exactly. Just dropped my whole drink over you, bitch.
No, of course not. But look. So I kind of got the sense that some people won't like this movie. It's not for everyone.
It probably definitely isn't for everyone because it's so fucking asks so much of you. Like, it's so...
It's dense.
Dense. Incredibly dense.
Yeah. And I think, for me, the film works on multiple levels. Like you said, it's a spy thriller. That's great. It's smart in that the concept is very intriguing, and it's not something I remember having seen before. I'm sure it has been done in part in other films and whatever. But then to take that whole, as we move down levels in someone's consciousness, right? Think time slows down. I mean, why? It just does. But it's an intriguing
premise.
No,
it makes sense because you can dream that you had a whole night and then you wake up, you've only been sleeping for five minutes.
Yeah.
Know?
Yeah. But
and I think it actually is proven that you only dream in the last few minutes of your sleep.
No.
Oh, you would know.
No, that's not true.
Is that not true?
No.
Okay.
Yeah. You dream more in REMs down the lower levels than you do at the start, but you can close your eyes and be right back into a dream and the like. It's how intense it is and how realistic experience it is. When we tend to wake from dreams because they wake us up. They kick us out.
So it feels like it's at the end of your sleep.
Yeah. And so it is at the end of your sleep technically, but that's why we wake up and we vaguely remember things for a while unless it's really full on the dream.
Ah, yes.
But even then, even the most full on dreams, you don't vividly remember every aspect of it.
No,
it's not. You remember the big parts and that's all.
That's right. But try doing that on a screen. You know what I mean? That's why it's so cool. Yeah.
But I think the visuals of this film are astounding.
Amazing.
That whole folding Paris is just... And that moment where he says to her, "Do you remember how you got here?" It's just one of the most
so good, right?
Drop mic moments in a film ever. Because it's
just
perfect. Because that's always the case in a dream. And that's often how I work out whether I'm in a dream or not. It's like,
how did I get here?
How did I get here?
Only you would have a brain that could do that, man. You know what? Paul once.
Not every dream.
Dude, Paul once told me about this fucking dream, right? Where he was getting chased through the forest or a fucking plantation or something by some motherfucker, right? And then it was like a dude with a knife or some shit. And Paul, in his dream, had the presence of mind to say, "This is a dream." He turned around, the guy slashed him and he woke up.
Yep.
I'm like, what the fuck? What kind of fucking...
True story.
What kind of shit is this? Like, who has the presence? I think you're a cop. I think you're a cop. That's so, what's going on, man. It's fucking shit.
Believe me, it's not every dream, but yes, I do tend
to... No one else has that level of fucking trying. Like, that's amazing. Okay, so there you go.
And often it is that whole, but how did I get here? Like, whoa, why am
but
I
you
in this
only
place?
You would think to actually no, ask that. You know, everyone else would be like, "Yo, how did I get here? I'm in a dream." No, I'm like, I'm having a dream.
Now I'm a little bit embarrassed. Let's move on.
Very impressive.
But I also like, I love the ensemble to this film. So it's good in that, okay, so Cobb, arguably, he's a bit of a cunt, right? He's prepared to throw everybody under the bus to get back to his kids.
Well, now it's a job. They're hired for a job. So I don't know that
he doesn't treat his employees that well, let's put it that way. He's constantly pulling the rug out from under them and just saying, "Ah, we're going to do this."
I think inherent in this job that they're all working with him is like this danger that's always there. So he's like, this is about as dangerous
as corporate espionage at the end of the day.
Exactly. Yeah. So, you know.
Despite that, I think he's still a largely likable character. Like, I think that's testament to Leo's performance.
Because he wants to take care of his kids and you know
his
wife.
He's doing it for the right reasons.
Exactly.
Even though he is poor Cillian Murphy's character is just being... absolutely wrecked.
Oh no, he's completely fingered.
So you kind of have to buy that. You have to buy, like, we don't care about that guy, well, even though his empire is being destroyed.
We're in a 1%er sort of, like, you know, it's like well, who cares about that rich fuck? You know what I mean? But yes, it is. He's definitely hard done.
So there's that kind of moral grey ground here that's going on as well, and that could impinge upon your enjoyment of the film, but not for me. I like it and enjoy it, but I like the crew, and I think we really need to give some shout outs here too. So, you know, Ellen Page is the architect. Great. She's our in. We're following her perspective because she's new to the group.
I adore her.
Right. Tom Hardy, probably my favorite role he's been in. He's been in a lot of great films, Tom Hardy. Works a lot with, obviously, Christopher Nolan. But in this film, he's just the perfect level of he can get it done guy, but he's also quite clever and quite, you know, he's witty.
Yes, he is. He's actually great. And that reminds me, did you hear the idea that that crew that you're talking about is actually, it's supposed to represent a film crew?
Like
a movie maker. So I think...
So who's that, whom?
So Ariadne is the set designer, right?
Ariadne?
Ariadne? What's...
Ellen Page's name.
Ellen Page's character. Yeah, name. Ariadne. Sorry. Yeah. Yep. So she's the set designer. So she's the actual architect. Tom... what's his name?
Hardy?
Yeah, Tom Hardy is actually the actor. That's why he's the way he is.
Okay.
You must think to look big, darling. He's that
who's
kind of
JGL?
Guy. JGL, I think, is the producer. I think he's the producer. And Cobb is either the studio
director.
Yeah, the director. But who's the Yusuf? Yusuf? Mm-hmm. He's, what is he? I think he's, there's this whole like write up okay. about it. Yeah, that's but it's kind of an interesting thing. Yeah.
And that's whether it's Nolan fan base who
reads. Saito is the money. He's the studio.
So he's the studio slash executive producers or whatever. I think that's the thing about Nolan films, that yes, they're rich in text and subtext, and there is
you've got to appreciate that.
There's
right?
a lot to read into them if you choose to do so. Mm. I often wonder, like I remember being back in English class, and you did English Lit and I did English, and I remember we were doing 1984, and there was a point there where the English teacher was making a point of sort of, oh, this scene represents this. And I'm like, do you really reckon George Orwell wrote that little simple bit of prose thinking that that's what he wanted people to read into it?
I used to always think that in English Lit class, because it's always, this is symbolic of that, and this hill is symbolic of that. I'm like, but it's a hill.
Or was it just that when people started to read into it, George Orwell / Christopher Nolan / all these other people are smart enough to go, yeah, that's kind of what I was going for.
I'll be honest with you, I think it's deliberate.
Some of it.
George Orwell, we have no idea how people thought back then.
No, but my point is, I think there's no way everything that's been written about this film is what Christopher Nolan intended. No way.
Maybe right. Not everything, but a lot, man. It seems like a lot of shit falls into
place. I'm not saying it's not layered. I absolutely am, but I just think that he's smart enough to take credit for things that if people are reading into it. Yep, that could be that. Sure can.
But
yeah.
but you can't just accept everything because it might like cancel something else that you actually tried to do. You know what I mean?
But that's why you never go hard and you say it's definitely that. You go, yeah, it could be that way.
Well, do you know the Tenet trailer? Mm-hmm. You know how if you run the film backwards but you play the sound forward, it all matches up?
Right.
That's the kind of shit a guy like that would do, though, right? So he's definitely had time to think about it.
I think he's more nuanced and a deeper filmmaker than most, for sure.
Agree. So that's I'm impressed with the effort, is what I'm saying. Yeah.
JGL, slick guy.
Slick.
Great character in this. Yusuf as well. I think he's quite likable. I think they're all likable, arguably other than Ken Watanabe's character, because he is just a corporate psychopath who wants to get all the money.
Yeah, and he's like, I bought the airline. I thought it was neater, you know, and stuff like that. You know, it's there was the scene where I found this cute. I'm sorry, but like where like Jervis Gordon-Levin obviously has a bit of a thing for Juno, for Ariadne, right? Yeah. He's teaching her whatever, and he's like, oh, okay, we're in this thing. Give me a kiss. She gives him a little kiss, right? And she goes, it didn't make any difference. He goes, yeah, it was worth a try. And then she has this like cock, like sort of see a little half smile. So I'm like, oh, he's flirting with her, and she's kind of on board with it, kind of. And it was, I like that moment.
They don't really play it up too much.
They don't, but I like that moment. I like it's because there's really no romantic interest in this thing. It's that woman is a fucking like she's killing everyone, like that Mal guy girl. So I like this that type of shit, man. So you know,
well, this is a doom love story because of course their relationship's over and she'd killed herself and now she's stuck in there. But there's
something slightly happy about like Leo saying, look, we actually did this where we stayed together until we were old and then we both died. We had that. It's just that we came back and now, you know, you think that it's a new world and you have to kill yourself to get out of it and blah, 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 all that sort of shit. So he actually had the happy ever after with her. It's just that she wouldn't go away. Right. In his head.
Yeah,
so,
again, it's deep, it's fascinating, it's quite interesting. But for me and probably for most people, what really stands out in this film is the climactic hour. And it is an hour. It's a good hour and 20 minutes. The whole second half of this film is the big heist.
Mm.
And I will argue that this is one of the greatest heist films ever made.
Probably.
Because it ultimately is. It's a heist. We are trying to make... Okay, they're not stealing something in this case.
They're incepting
something.
We're
putting something
but
in.
It's
But the end is to walk away with a lot of money to the player that's asking you to do this. So to me, it's still a heist film. And it's amazing. That whole drop down level. Oh, this isn't working. We're falling off the edge of the bridge. Oh, now we're in that sort of hotel room and it's flipping on its side and the zero G. We're also down another level into
talk about that for a second?
The spy world of Tom Hardy. They're James Bonding it really in that moment. That was his audition
That's
for James
the best
Bond.
Thing about this shit. Yeah. That hallway scene, dude. The idea that they're flipping the hallway, I know it's been done many times, but it was just beautiful when it happened. When he's floating through the air and trying to... All that shit is just cool. And JGL was probably at the height of his... Like, a lot of people made... I saw a JGL movie and now I'm pregnant kind of joke at that time. So, no, I think he's cool. I like his shit, man.
He's great. The whole team's great. And oddly enough, this is one of those films where basically no one, towards the end of the film anyway, no one really dies.
And Paul still liked it, everyone.
Yes.
What's going on?
Paul loves it. I mean, I think maybe some people die in the opening scenes of the chaos and whatever, but I could be wrong about that. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I like that
shit. No, because that's all part of an Inception too. Anyway.
I looked up a little... trivia about the show.
Far away.
Christopher Nolan's brother Jonathan Nolan and sister-in-law Joy Nolan are the showrunners for Westworld, And they also employ the use of mazes in their story, just like the maze Ariadne drew for Cobb, and then that's a maze thing. So I guess the brothers talk. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. It's like
for some reason I thought Jonathan Nolan was involved in writing this film, but no, clearly not.
I'm not sure. That would make sense.
It was just Christopher Nolan.
Just Christopher, there you go. Mm. Whenever in a dream, all the cars that have a dream, that are in the dream, have a state licensed license plate, and it says, they have like a little state motto at the end of it.
Yeah.
Theirs is the alternate state. That's very cool. All of them like that. So that's cool little shit like that I like. Again, deep.
And fascinating. Like, yes, we get Michael Caine, and apparently every scene Michael Caine in is real, and mm-hmm. and all the rest of that stuff. And even Tom Berenger and Lucas Haas and Pete Postlethwaite. And this is a big cast.
You know what the one cool thing that I heard about? Like, you know how Cobb's totem is his spinning top,
yep.
right? And you're not supposed to let anyone else know about that spinning top, so hold it or whatever. So that's actually not even his totem. It's actually Mal's totem. He found it in her fucking safe, and then he adopted it for his own. Okay. So that's the only thing that makes me think, maybe it is a dream, because this could still be like something that Mal implanted in his head. I personally like to believe that he's actually there, though.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of talk about that. It's deliberately ambiguous, but
I think he made it
with the Michael Caine sort of statement, and it looks like it starts to waver, like to my eye.
Yeah, it's about to fall over. It's about to fall over. So,
but maybe I'm reading into it what I want to see. You know, there's always that possibility as well.
Which I think is your job as the audience member.
Yeah, you got to make up your
Yeah, I make up. I decided he lived, and then he actually got back to reality. Those kids are real. We finally saw their faces. We never did any other ones.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. So, boom.
Great film. I think we both love this one a lot.
Absolutely.
The question is just how much then, Wayne? So final thoughts and your score, please.
94.
Inception. Whoa.
94.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I'm giving this a 95.
Boom. So fuck. A 95 from Paul.
Yeah.
It's got to be the one, people. Oh, it's got to be among the ones. Don't know.
It's ironic then that we have to label Wayne with this.
God.
Yeah. Tremble before me.
I 1% lower than you. Yep, that's totally negative. Also, that sound can eat all my balls.
God, sorry, that was a little bit loud, but it's important to acknowledge when
no,
Wayne
it's not, you fucking asshole.
Is underscoring. Balls. I think this is one of the smartest, most intelligent, / most exhilarating films that I've ever seen.
Agreed.
Like the 2.5 hours literally flies by.
You can even put this on the background if you've already seen it and still have a good time.
I don't think I could half watch this movie. I'm either in or
You're
I'm
You're right,
not.
Actually, it's hard to look away.
Yeah. For me, personally.
And me.
And I know that I was really excited by Tenet when I saw it, but I don't think 10 years from now I'll feel as fondly about Tenet as I do.
Not as good as this film.
Inception.
Not even close.
There you go. That's our thoughts about Christopher Nolan's Inception, the classic film, which we obviously think does stand the test of time and is well worth your time. You obviously have got this far, then we spoiled the shit out of it.
Yeah, spoiled throughout.
I'll have that in the show notes, don't worry, on the first line saying there were spoilers throughout for this 10-year-old film. Thank you so much for joining us today. If you would like to let us know what you think about Inception, you can do so via email at thecountdownpodcast@gmail.com, on Twitter at thecountdownpc. Check out the Facebook listener community links in the show notes to interact with us and other great listeners of the show. And finally, we follow us along on podbean.com where we host the show. That's it from us today. Thank you so much for joining us. My name is Paul.
My name is Wayne.
And thanks to Christopher Nolan for doing this.
Thrill me.
A lot.
Dickhead.
We'll catch you next time.